When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Oh no, is it everywhere? No, sure. Stay and sort that out. We can have dinner another time. Amazing.
Whether it's cancelled plans...
I need to get in the kitchen and calm down.
Or the need for a quick, convenient distraction. Introducing Goodfella's Mini Pizzas. Four mini pizzas made with respect that cook in 11 minutes. Goodfella's Minis. Embrace the unexpected.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. Welcome to the Blood and Mud Rugby Podcast. I am not Lee Calvert. You probably noticed that. Lee has had what can only be described as a catastrophe involving hiring a steamroller and the non-delivery of some gravel. And so he's left me, Josh, to drive this super yacht of conversations, diversions, and swearing. I mean, if you were to pick a reason why Lee wasn't able to pod on a given day, something involving a steamroller would probably be pretty high up the list of reasons, right? Like,
absolutely.
Yeah. He will explain it all in detail, I'm sure, next week. But for now, never fear. I'm not blazing my way across the turquoise seas of chat on my own. Oh, no. Joining me today from that there London is CrossFitter, part-time model, slap bassist extraordinaire, Scarlett's fan, and friend of the pods, Phil Lewis. All right, Phil?
How's it going, Josh? You right there?
Yeah, not bad. Thank you for
that
joining.
That's a hell of an introduction.
I like to build people up. You know,
Thank you.
Yeah,
I'll update the LinkedIn now.
Yeah, just get it straight in the bio, mate. Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah.
Now, if you listen to the Rock and Roll Podcast, you probably heard Phil drop in there occasionally. But for those who haven't, Phil, what can we expect from you this evening in terms of performance? What are you going to add to the podcast?
Probably a fair amount of snark, I'll be honest. That's usually where I like to try and chip in and have my... that's the little niche that I sit in there.
We don't have much snark in this podcast usually.
No, so I know.
We could definitely use a little bit more, you know? Yeah.
Thought we could mix it up a little bit. Seeing as you tend to take on the a jollier role as host, then I thought I'd just try and bring things down a notch or two.
I mean, God, it's like you've prepared and planned and everything. Lovely stuff. right now, you know, how can people get in touch with you on that their internet then, Phil?
I think this is the first time I've ever actually had to give my Twitter handle out. So
you don't have to. You're opening yourself up there, but you know.
You know what? We'll do it anyway. Who knows? I might get another 3 or 4 followers out of it and take the total up to 22.
Yes.
I think it's Phil Lewis L00L on Twitter. So yeah.
I mean, on the plus side, that is nice and easy for people to.
Exactly, right, yes, rolls so. Right off the tongue.
I am, of course, at Josh Gardner on Twitter. Lee is at Blood and Mud, of course. And you can also become a patron of the pod at patreon.com/bloodandmud, where you not only get access to a full archive of historic and bonus podcasts, but you also get the full-length version of this here pod for your listening pleasure, as opposed to the slimmed-down version that we put out for the general public. Now, we have that basic £2 a month tier, of course. You know, we love you. They're lovely people. They're great people. They're good people. Some people, the special legends, they decide to up their contribution to 5 months and come into the Alley Brew Lounge. And those people not only get access to all of the good patron podcast stuff, and access to the Facebook group and access to the Patreon messaging services and all that stuff. They also get their names read out on the pod, and I try to tell them what kind of rugby player I think they are. Now, Phil, I'm not going to throw you in at the deep end there. Don't worry.
Please, thank you very much. I'm very glad.
First up this week, we have Mary Olotokombo-Williams. Now, Mary is a barrel-chested tight end prop who played for Wasps in the late 80s and early 90s, back when sort of the Women's Premiership was still administered by the Women's Rugby Football Union. Remember that? That was weird.
that was weird.
Almost everyone, let's face it, was a total prick about women's rugby at that point as well. So she developed a thick skin pretty early doors. And she used to take great pleasure in regularly beating a young Lawrence Dalio at point downing when they'd mix with the men's team at socials. A Wasp diehard, though, she regards the men's team's move to Coventry as a crime against nature, and such refuses to acknowledge the existence of the men's team, declaring that there is only one true, real Wasps. It's a bit much, if I'm honest, but you know. and then finally this week, thank you, Mary, by the way. Welcome to the fold. Finally this week, we have Joe. I'm not sure it's Bracha or Bracha or Brasha. I'm sure you'll let us know. Whatever one's right, he's a gifted prop for Dunwoody Woodpeckers RFC, who is cursed with just a remarkable intolerance to heat. As such, he refuses to play rugby whenever the temperature is above 12 degrees centigrade. And it makes it, you know, he's a real asset to his club in the early months of the season. But his absence from the pitch after about mid-March, let's be honest, is a real hindrance at the sharp end. He did once play a final for the club thanks to a late May cold snap, because the temperature was down to about 11 degrees at kickoff. But he had to be forcibly dragged back onto the field after half-time when the sun came out and the temperature rose to a balmy 13.5 degrees. So there you go, Joe and Mary. A level with you. That last one was somewhat informed by the elephant in the room, which is, holy shit, it's hot today. I don't know what it's like. I don't know what it's like in the natural human microwave that is London, Phil, but it is warm here today.
It is very warm here. Luckily, it's probably the first time I've ever been grateful that we don't get the sun in the garden on the house all day. It's a sort of like it's a west facing house on a terrace, so I don't get the sun beating down into the house all day every day. So it's been relatively cool inside today, thankfully.
See, that is right.
Just going back on the Facebook group there, can thoroughly recommend joining that one, because I've already got about 30 different vest suggestions just from that one thread alone.
I mean,
so it's worth that price of admission alone.
You know what, Phil? Like, this is something that Lee would just stare at me blankly about. But you know, this is we are in prime. You know, I almost podded in a vest tonight. It's so hot. And if it was, if it was with Lee, he'd have given me a funny look. But you know, we're vest kindred, Phil. So you know, we express, you know, the freedom that comes with not having sleeves. You know, it's
exactly no sleeves, no problem.
Exactly. I'll tell you what, though. Something else that Lee would stare at me blankly about, but I feel like you're a much more receptive audience to it. This morning, I finally took delivery of the final piece of my like home gym that I've been building in the garage.
Oh,
like,
it's
nothing fancy. Like, there's a bike, there's a bench, there's some free weights, kettlebells, resistance bands, all that stuff. I put a spongy floor down. I got very carried away.
Oh, nice. Yeah,
but it's great. But like this morning, I took delivery of my fucking proper gym level cross trainer, which I've been umming and ahhing about for a few months, but I can't fit it in there. Then friend of the pod Dom, equipped for gyms, posted a picture on Instagram of a second hand small footprint commercial cross trainer on Instagram, and I was like, fucking right, happy birthday to
all
me,
all over it.
10:30 this morning, the lovely lads from Equipped for Gyms turn up with this thing on a pallet on the back of a lorry. They roll it up my drive, fair play to them, talk about service. They open it up, they cut all the plastic off it, they take it off the pallet, they put it down on the floor, and they're like, oh, do you want us to put it where it's going to go in the garage for you? And that's where I make my fatal error, right? Because, you know, I'm Welsh, and they've come all the way from Swansea, which made me feel quite bad anyway, and also quite homesick.
Yeah.
And they were. I was just thinking, I don't want to put these boys out even further than they already have by making them wheel this fucking cross train around the garage. So I'm like, oh, no, don't worry about it, it'll be fine. And in my head, I'm thinking, I can hear Dom from Equipped for Gyms in his email saying, by the way, it's really heavy.
they are.
And I'm just like, oh, how heavy can it be? It's got wheels at one end. How bad can it be? I'll tell you what, Phil, I looked it up. The Matrix A3X cross trainer has an assembled weight of 201 kilograms, or £442 in old money.
Oh my Christ.
That is two Damien DLN days or 1.5 Will Skeltons if you were
of
pure dead weight with no handles or obvious. I should have known when.
Points of purchase.
One of the lads that. There was two lads on the van, and the older bloke, like the slightly older bloke who has clearly been at this a while, sort of left the young lad who looks like he plays a lot of rugby in the front row, went, we'll leave it to him to get the hard end. And he was a big lad, and I should have gone then, wow, he quite struggled to lift that up. Even the two of them struggled to get it off the pallet. But no, like a moron, I was just like, ah, it'll be fine. And I've got to move it 6 feet-ish away from where it needed to be at a wrong angle by 90 degrees. And it was 27 degrees today.
Yeah.
And about 90% humidity. The garage is only about 10 foot wide, and it's lit entirely by like the hottest fluorescent tubes you've ever seen. There's no ventilation in there, and I mean, genuinely, 15 minutes of moving that fuck, I genuinely felt, I looked and felt like a man who'd run a marathon in July. So, yeah, thanks to Dom at Equipped for Gyms for sorting me out once again. But if you were thinking of ordering something from them, and you should, because it's very good and very reasonable, if his sound lads on the van offer to help you move a very heavy thing, just learn from my mistake. And just go, yeah, lads, crack on. So, yeah, that was my fun day of getting very sweaty for no appreciable
very
reason.
Good.
And I haven't used the cross trainer yet because I was too
You don't need to.
Yeah.
You've already had a workout. You've already had a workout moving it. But you mentioned there in part of your story there something that I was curious to ask about, which was your driveway, which is now, I presume, completely free of weeds, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Hats off to the Facebook group for really coming through there with the recommendation of the all-natural Epsom salts, fairy liquid, white vinegar weed killer. Because A, it seems to have worked. And B, I did also kind of, I double-duted it. I pulled the weeds out and then I sort of salted the earth with the weed killer. And it seems to, it's been a few days now. Usually those bastards, a little bit of rain and they're right back up. So I'm going to say,
With the warm weather as well.
Exactly. They usually, literally, as soon as I pull them out, they're back up. So see, it's not just about rugby, this Facebook group, you know, it's about power tool recommendations. It's about vest recommendations. It's, you know, it's all good stuff. Honestly, we contain absolute fucking multitudes. So we begin the podcast as we always do with a player spotted, and this week's entry comes courtesy of Rob Hughes, who gets in touch with us via the Patreon messaging service. If you're also a patron, you can also send us a little DM on the Patreon thing. And Rob says, I was on holiday with the family in Tenby a few weeks ago, lovely, and made the obligatory day trip to Folly Farm. Of course you did. Walked into the barn and the first person I saw was two-time Lions captain Sam Warburton enjoying a takeaway coffee while his kids pointed at some goats. We both had masks on, so I nodded. He nodded back, and that was that. I mean, that's just pure Wales family holiday, isn't it? It ticks all the boxes.
Yeah.
Folly Farm, goats, kids, Tenby. It's absolutely classic.
It reminds
stuff.
You of, like, when I was first growing up around that neck of the woods, because that's my area, and just being like drinking in the Buccaneer in Tenby, and just having Tom Shanklin walk in and just start chatting at the bar with the staff, and having like all the 40/50-year-old mums just fawning all over him. It was brilliant, so good, very surreal.
Have you ever had a crushingly boring encounter with a famous rugby player, Phil, or coach, or referee?
I think my most interesting one and my most boring one came hand in hand, which was I was lucky enough to go out to the Rugby World Cup last year in Japan last year.
Nice.
Christ, 2 years ago. Write that last year off. It was.
Yeah,
it felt like
doesn't
last
count.
Year because
doesn't
the because 2020
didn't
wasn't
matter,
there.
Yeah.
But I was. It was my birthday while I was out there, so I was luckily treated to going to the Kill Bill restaurant where they filmed that famous fight scene.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, so I spent my birthday there, completely unplanned. The WRU delegation were also having a meal in there as well. So my mundane one was that I was in the gents, relieving myself in between the courses of some delicious food, and in walks next to me, lumbles up next to me, is current Wales head coach Wayne Pivac.
Oh, that's lovely.
I sort of didn't really know what to do, where to look. Kept looking sort of straight ahead, just sort of clocked about my peripherals and sort of finished up, washed my hands. And by that point, he turned around and I gave him a knowing nod and walked off, thoroughly sort of embarrassed. The most exciting one after that was as we came back from, as we were sitting at the table, we had we clocked Ryan Jones was also with them, as he was still in his current role at the time.
Say, before he quit the WRU, yeah.
Before he quit the WRU, yeah. And I was the party we were with were all from Wales, and my friend Rian has got a very, very thick Abertillery accent, and we clocked Ryan and asked if we could have a photo and just have a chat to him. And he obviously, we all started chatting away. And I know I don't sound particularly Welsh, but Rian is very, very Welsh sounding. And we all started chatting away to him. And he was just making polite conversation, very, very friendly, lovely guy that he is. And he said, so whereabouts are you guys from? And Rian, just absolutely giddy with excitement, didn't even stop to think and just went, Wales! He's like, yes, yeah. So, yeah. And he was so polite about it. He was so nice about it. He's like, yeah, I got that. I was more just wondering, like, where specifically. But yeah. So
well, I suppose you just get used to saying that in Japan. You know, if somebody
asks you
where you're from, you say Wales. You don't expect get more specific than that.
No. But yeah, my most mundane and my most exciting encounters both rolled up into one neat evening, which was
I have one question, and that is, sure. Did Wayne Pivac follow urinal separation discipline?
He did not.
Oh.
But only because there were only two in...
Okay.
So he had no option.
That's fair enough in that situation, I suppose.
So I think we can allow that one, yeah.
Yeah,
but I mean, he's a big bloke, like, man. It did not leave any room.
I just want to let the listeners know that Phil did the universal sign language for big as in broad and not big as in Wayne Pivac's got an enormous penis. I don't know. He might have, but you know,
he might have. I didn't look down. There are some rules that you just don't break.
Exactly. He's got. I mean, why you say that? A mate of mine was a. A mate of mine took a wee was in a toilet in Los Angeles next to Dion Dublin a few years ago, and
right.
I mean, we've all heard the stories. You couldn't. Yeah. You got to check. You got to know. You got to know. And the stories are true. I'll leave it at that.
Fair enough.
Anyway, yeah, that was sort of player spotted. Should we do some news now?
Yeah, absolutely.
50 minutes in, fucking hell. You are keeping me tight, Phil. I love it.
You are excellent.
First up on the news front, Andy Farrell might coach the Lions after all, in what can be seen as a ringing endorsement of Steve Tandy. It seems like Ireland's tour of Fiji getting canned has opened that Farrell might sort of link up, according to the Irish Times. It's a done deal. Farrell's going to join up with the Lions for the Test series assistant. I mean, Gatland's been very cagey about what the role would entail, but you'd imagine it would fill the sort of extremely intense and shouty northern void that clearly exists in the current setup that we all know.
Indeed.
Gatland likes to have at least one. But yeah, you know, Farrell coming in there quite late. It's an interesting move on Gatland's part because kind of, yeah, what's he going to bring if he just turns up in the week of the tests after the squad's been together for a month?
I think that's very exactly that you were saying about, I think when we were talking about the actual Lions announcement themselves was that we know how Gatland loves his partnerships and know how he thinks about how a team works together mentally as well as actually physically performing on the pitch. And if he's picked his players because he wants to think about how they sort of come together as a unit and protecting them mentally over that tour period, to bring in a coach in late doors is surely going to upset that apple cart a little bit, right? I mean, it can't be just that he'll just walk straight in and be like, oh, I know exactly what's going on.
Yeah, unless... because, I mean, when you look at the sort of the 2017 and 2013 documentaries when Farrell was obviously involved with Gatland, like, it seemed like Farrell's job sort of pre-tests was very kind of... Because Gatland is absolutely not a, you know, give you a sort of inspiring speech kind of coach. That is not his way. He barely talks to the team by all accounts. But like certainly on match days and sort of at halftime and stuff, he rarely says anything to the squads ever. But Farrell seemed to be the sort of guy that would give the sort of, you know, pumping up, talking about, you know, leaving the jersey in a good condition when you finish, you know, that kind of sort of rousing pre-match speech seems to be something that Farrell's quite good at. So I wonder if he's just thinking, if he turns up in test week and sort of is a new voice in the room giving people a, you know, a fucking rocket up the arse and sort of trying to gin him up a bit. It, you know, that could work, but I would imagine it's way too late for him to be involved in any sort of technical stuff, certainly for the first test.
Yeah, no, for sure. No, I don't think he's going to be able to come in there and start chucking tactics and stuff around like that.
No.
But, I get exactly what you're saying. Yeah, I think that probably is going to be his capacity if it happens. But yeah, interesting that they seem so confident it's a done deal.
Yeah, it was interesting. Yeah, because, you know, Ireland do have matches to play this summer, but I mean, they're against, you know, Canada and stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, Ireland could beat them without a coach. So.
Probably, yeah.
it's quite interesting, though, that it's sort of he wants to be around, but not around for the whole thing. I don't know. Odd.
Yeah.
Mm. Anyway, yeah, one to keep an eye on. So in other news then, Scotland have named 36-man and 1 Jevon Sebastian squad for their summer tour. I know I'm being mean, but see, Jevon Sebastian, full international. Like, what a concept. Anyway, the squad will be led by Jamie Ritchie. And once again, it's a real testament to the dedication and hard work that the Scottish Qualified Programme does to identify all the sort of Scottish qualified talent that are outside of the country and bring them into the fold, because it's loads of uncapped players, something like 17, something like that, isn't it? Like,
yeah, 17 uncapped, yeah. And Haaland's been playing great for the Scarlets as well. Like, he's done a real shift for us.
He has, to be fair to him. You know, it's like, you know, Haaland's a weird one, but the squad is peppered with sort of slightly weird ones, like Nick Autorak from Saints. Like, I didn't know he was Scottish.
I mean,
Josh Bayliss at Bath was a bit more sort of new, but like Robin Hislop at Doncaster as well. Cole Forbes when he stops killing small animals. And of course, Sione Tupulotu, who looks like such an exciting player coming over from Japan. Obviously, he was an Australian under 19 international, but his nan's from Glasgow.
I love it.
You know, like so much of Scotland's improvement in depth and general quality in the last few years has been sort of down to how well they've identified these sort of Scottish qualified foreign-born players. And I don't think Scotland get nearly enough credit for it. Like a lot of, you know, for all the sort of criticism that Ireland have got for their sort of policy of kind of project players or whatever you want to call them. Yeah. And, you know, there's been criticism of that in Wales as well. Like Scotland has done a fair bit of that, but the thing that they've done more than anybody else is to find these players that are, you know, they're not project players, they're not time servers, they're not sort of waiting to qualify on Reds and see they're ready to go right away. You just
hit the ground running, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, it doesn't matter where they're playing, you know, especially if Scotland doesn't have a sort of play in the country rule because they've only got 2 teams, you know, they can pick literally from anywhere in the world. And I think it's a really good system that they've got there. And it's going to be shown over the summer kind of how deep that pool of theirs that they're developing is.
For sure, exactly. And I think feeding into that, I think their strong showing with the Six Nations and leading into them having so many selected for the Lions is only going to help strengthen that anyway, because it means it leaves more space in that summer touring group to bring those players forward. So I think it's a sort of like self-fulfilling prophecy they've got going on now, where they've done the hard work to get the players playing well to the point where they're being noticed and picked for Lions tours to leave the spaces for the other guys to come through.
Yeah, exactly. You know, it's an everybody wins situation. You know, Scotland gets the Lions that they've sort of been craving and, you know, have possibly potentially deserved in the past.
Massively,
and it gives this whole, you know, as you say, the next generation a chance to put a marker down. You know, it's a sort of interesting summer tour with, you know, playing Georgia and England A and all this sort of stuff. It's not your most conventional thing, but you know, it will be a really interesting thing just for Mike Blair to sort of have a look at, you know, where everyone is, you know.
Other
news, the Die Young effect is alive and well in Cardiff. Thomas Williams is the latest out of contact player, decided to re-up with the Blues and as with everybody else, he basically said, well, now that Di's here, I'm not just going to go and leave, am I? Which I think, you know, is something we can all agree with. And he was, 100%. You know, he's a very good coach. And, you know, there's a real potential there for Di to be a sort of lightning rod of attracting new talent to the Blues as well, because players clearly enjoy playing for him and want to play for him. And he plays, you know, even since he came on board, you know, which is barely 2 months really in terms of actual games that they've played, he's done a really good job of kind of you can see he's starting to identify who works and who doesn't at the Blues.
For sure.
And, you know, players like Ben Thomas seem to have gotten dramatically better under Di. And yeah, you know, I'm loath to say that the Blues are building something, but you know, he with the coach, you know, once you get your coach right, and I think they have got their coach right now, like all the other good things can come from that.
Indeed, yeah. You need to look at the result from the weekend, which I'll show you
later. Yeah.
But, I remember literally within this calendar year that they would have been not have expected that sort of result.
Hell,
we'll come on to talk about the actual results, but as close as game
certainly,
as it was out of performance.
The performance, you know, was as a level that, you know, we're not used to seeing from the Blues away from home at the moment. You know, not sort of the Blues always seem to play out sort of quite good, quite tight games, but yeah, this felt like a different gravy of Cardiff team to the one that we've seen in the past.
Yeah.
Any other news? Any other news from your side, Phil?
I saw we've got Eddie looking for some new talent. I saw. Did you see that? Eddie Jones looking for some new talent.
Good. He'd also said that the reason that he goes off to coach in Japan for half of the year is because, you know, like with any other skill, you know, he's got to practice being a coach, and he only gets 12 weeks a year with England. So what's he going to do with the rest of his time? Which I kind of don't disagree with. But
no, it's just a very weird thing to do. But like the fact that so many other international coaches are perfectly capable of just filling their time.
It's just kind of the thing. It's like, you know, most international coaches only have one job.
Yeah.
You know, and he's got like three or four.
I feel like he's got some dirty photos of someone at the RFU because I've heard you talk about before, the amount of like resources that are available to England as a union, and the time that he's had bed in a system and build a squad, and he's talking about pissing off half the year to just go and just hang out in Japan and coach. You kind of feel like if I was doing that for my job and I said, I'm sort of delivering, sort of not delivering, but I'm not really getting to do what I want to do for half the time, so I'm going to go and do it elsewhere, if that's all right with you. I mean, like, my employer would definitely come back and go, maybe you win something big first and then worry about, you know, coaching in quotations. But that's just me.
Yeah.
I'm old school like that.
But yeah, because it's not just that he's, you know, he goes off and is a director of rugby and an advisor in Japan, but apparently there are various NRL teams that are sort of tapping him up to be a sort of coaching assistant type thing. I know Canterbury want him to be their full-time head coach, which I don't think is going to happen because, Jesus, they're not going to pay to get him out of his England contract. But yeah, he definitely seems to be a man that needs to keep himself entertained, you know?
Yeah.
And needs to sort of keep himself. Yeah, you know, he's clearly not somebody that deals with sort of watching a lot of rugby at home or in the stands and not actually doing a lot of hands on. You know, he's a hands on coach, and I think he just enjoys coaching. But if I was the RFU and we were paying him as much as we were paying him to be England coach, I would probably suggest that we could find something for him to do in England that could maybe take up the other sort of 40 weeks of the year.
What I find odd about this, the article, or the interview with him, was that he's looking for like unexpected, like weird, bright new talent to come in and refresh his squad ready for the build up to the 2023 World Cup. And I'm thinking, hang on now. I know Razzie sort of broke the mold a little bit with what you can do in a World Cup cycle. But everyone else out there that's having sort of moderate to significant success on the management front is sorting their squads out a lot more than like 18 months ahead of schedule or 2 years ahead of schedule.
Yeah, that is the thing, isn't
the other
it?
Thing about this is that I just don't buy it either, because he's talked about refreshing squads all the time. And like, he's had the same fly-off and inside centre combo or flip and switch between him and Ford and Farrell for is basically his entire tenure. Like, he's not a coach that has shown that he can refresh squads in the way that other international coaches do. So I don't really get where he's coming from.
No, I mean, really, his refreshing of the squad last time, sort of, the last time he did refresh the squad was probably, you know, 2018, when the likes of Haskell and Mike Brown and those kind of made way for, you know, your Underhills and your Elliot Dalys and those sorts of players. But there's definitely a feeling that there's still quite a lot of players kicking about from that first campaign in 2016. And not that they're old players or they're bad players or anything like that, but it's like, you do... I mean, it's not his job to sort of prepare the next generation in a lot of ways, and if they're working for him, they're working for him. But at the same time, yeah, you do think that, like, when you look at who they've got to play this summer, like, surely just give some fucking left field choices a go and see how they go, you know?
I just don't believe him, to be honest. That's what it is. I just don't believe that he's going to do what he says he wants to do. That's all.
I mean, he has got a lot of form for not telling the truth, so fair enough. Speaking of coaches that have form for not telling the truth, France are going to play Georgia, Argentina, and New Zealand in the autumn.
That's very tasty.
Which sounds... It is tasty, isn't it? Like, they obviously, you know, the game against Georgia is going to be silly. Especially because how many of those Georgians play in the top 14 already, so they're going to know how to wind up. It's going to be fun. It's going to be more fun than the England game was last year. Argentina will probably be closer than we expect. Now that all of their players are not chronically exhausted all the time from playing in Super Rugby. And then you've got the fucking All Blacks. And when is a France All Blacks game bad? Yeah,
exactly. It's always good.
Yeah, and especially, you know, obviously Wales are Six Nations champions, but, like, you know, France are arguably the best team in Europe, whether you sort of, you know, in terms of where they are in terms of their development. It's a tasty, tasty matchup. Really, I think, looking forward to that game. It's going to be banging. Anything else on you from the news front?
We've got Sevens back in Wales, but for the win.
Yes. Yeah, it's weird that, because obviously they shit canned the Sevens World Series teams, both men's and women's. But they are bringing the women's team back because they've got a European tournament to qualify for the Commonwealth Games.
Yeah,
I think.
But
still, it's just good. You know, Sevens is such an important form of the game for women's rugby, and you know it's. It's good that Wales are prioritising getting women's sevens back.
Absolutely,
you know, because it's such a huge part of the code in the women's game, and yeah, it's just really good to see and really encouraging to see, and hopefully, you know, as much as on the men's side and to a lesser extent the women's side, Wales have not been good at the sevens for quite some time. It would be nice for them to kick that program off again and maybe have a slightly different focus and a slightly different approach and maybe try to do something slightly more interesting and successful and positive with it.
Fun fact and little humble brag, Shona Powell Hughes, who's been named in the squad, I used to train with her in my very first CrossFit gym. When I was 10 stone dripping wet and learning how to do my first pull-up, she was there kicking my ass up and down the gym floor.
I was going to say, did she
like wipe the floor with me every time. It was absolutely humbling. I already knew walking into that environment that I wasn't going to be as good as any of the guys for starters, but then the girls as well. I was like, wow, okay, so this is a whole different level of training. Yeah, she's an absolute beast, fair play.
Oh, well, good luck to her and the rest of the team. Right, I think that is the news. With that, we will say goodbye to our non-patron listeners, and we shall delve into what we've learned from the week. So see you later, guys and gals. Bye.
Oh no, is it everywhere? No, sure, stay and sort that out. We can have dinner another time. Amazing.
Whether it's cancelled plans,
need to get in the kitchen and calm down,
or the need for a quick, convenient distraction. Introducing Goodfella's Mini Pizzas. Four mini pizzas made with respect that cook in 11 minutes. Goodfella's Minis. Embrace the unexpected.
If I learned one thing in the last year, it's that falling into debt can happen to anyone. Luckily, I heard about the ISI, the Insolvency Service of Ireland. Their professional advisors can help you restructure or even write off your debt. The first thing they said to me was, every debt problem has a solution. I can still feel the relief. So if you're worried, visit their website backontrack.ie or free text Get Help to 50015.
The ISI. Together, we'll get you back on track.
And so, with that, we will welcome back our friends, our non-paying subscribers who have come in to rejoin us from their exile away from the good stuff, I like to call
Welcome
it.
Back.
I mean, you can subscribe if you and be the judge of whether it's the good stuff.
I think it's excellent stuff. But, really do.
Well, thank you very much, Phil. I mean,
I'm not at all biased.
shall we do some shit good?
Let's do some shit good.
Shall we start with good? Yes, let's start with good. Why not?
I've got good. I've got Anscombe back in training.
Fucking right, that is good. Not just Anscombe running on his own, you know, trying to do some shuttles or whatever, like what we've seen in the past. Anscombe wearing boots, holding a rugby ball, taking passes off Alan Wynne-Jones.
Lovely stuff.
In training.
Look into my veins.
Yeah, can't wait. I mean, it's interesting, you know, obviously early days yet. Yeah. Like, let's get him back into contact training, let's get him back onto a field and playing rugby regularly.
Sure.
But it will be interesting to see how, if he does manage to come back full fit, you know, get back to sort of somewhere near where he was, sort of what Wayne Pivac's view of him as a player is, you know?
I think he's pushing 30 now. He's 30 now, isn't he? And it's just one of those things where he was obviously such a great player for Wales. When he was last playing for Wales, I thought he was a real asset to that squad, and it was obviously a crushing injury for him. But you think that side of 30, is he that sort of stable old head of experience, or has he already got that in bigger? Does he completely cut losses entirely and go right back to the youngsters and start from fresh? Like, does he have a place for him, really, is what I'm curious.
Yeah, it's a question, you know. In many ways, you look at him and you think that he, you know, because the thing about Anscombe was that he offered a lot of the sensibleness that Dan Biggar offers, with the ability to play a more expansive and more creative game and take the ball to the line.
Sure.
And, you know, he's a genuine running threat, or at least he was, you know. And in many ways, you look at him and you think, you know, he's a great 10 for what Pivac wants to do.
Yeah.
If he can get back that far. But, you know, he's lost 2 full years of rugby. You know, it's asking a lot for him to be ready by the World Cup in 2 years' time,
yeah.
I think, playing to international standards,
well.
At which point, and you do wonder if he's just going to say to him, look, you know, prove me wrong, but for the time being,
not part of the plan, unfortunately.
You're not going to be part of the plan until you prove that you can be, I guess, which is probably fair enough, but still, you know, whatever happens, really good to see him back.
Massively
in training.
So, yeah.
And back.
Massively.
Indeed. Good for me. Was Utah Warriors mascot,
yes,
Koa the Panther, driving his motorbike directly in front of the Austin goal kicker as he went to take a conversion on the weekend. If you haven't seen the video, I mean, it's Olympic level shithousing. It's brilliant. You know, he's lining up a kick and he literally drives right in front of him on his motorbike, and then he drives back round and does a straight dead look down the camera as if to say, yeah, I know what I'm doing. I knew exactly what I was doing.
It's absolutely brilliant. I love that.
And the best part is, the Warriors were 38-15 up at that point.
Like, there's no need for it.
It's absolutely so unnecessary. No need absolutely for it. Unnecessary. I think they won that game like 48-21 in the end. But it's like, those 2 points were absolutely not going to make any difference. You just did it because for the sake could. Of being a total prick. Oh, but yeah, it was glorious. Definitely check that video out if you haven't seen it. It is genuinely one of my favourite rugby videos in ages. Any more good from you?
I had Uzair Kassiem dancing out his farewell for the Scarlets. You know, what a weird little nice twisty farewell there. It was great.
It was, yeah, quite a few people on the old social medias were saying, you know, James Mackay Mount says, shit is so many players leaving clubs without getting proper send-offs, but good was Uzair Kassiem and his wife dancing on the pitch. I love weird shit like that. And it is definitely... Just really
very weird.
Just such a weird.
Like, how does that conversation even come about? How does that? What do you want to do for your farewell?
Exactly.
Do you want like a clubhouse drinks? Do you want to go for a Nando's? Like other chicken shops are available.
I thought I'd do a sort of dramatic dance routine to in Parker Scarlet's as the sun's going down. If that's all.
Yeah.
That's all the same to you. Yeah. Sure. Great. Cool. Let's make that happen. I'll bring my wife as well. Okay. Yeah. Cool. I mean, it's very weird. It's more interesting than most.
Yeah.
Let's be honest.
So, made a statement. Not going to forget about it.
No, absolutely not. Other goods coming in from the Facebook group and elsewhere. Dennis Suter says, good seeing Alex Cuthbert on the score sheet this weekend, even if it was against Newcastle Falcons. Hard agree. Also good was scoring myself against Worcester, brackets, not Warriors. Good for you, Dennis. Good for you. Which Worcester was it then? If it wasn't the Warriors. Surely there's... I mean, you've given us a kernel of information there. We needed you to expand. Also on the good side, Dan Shear says, good is Ellis Genge, try-scoring machine. Also good is Mike Blair using the Scotland Summer Games to blood new talent and bringing Matt Scott back into the fold. Yeah.
Very good.
Hard agree. Good shout, actually. Matt Scott, a constantly underrated player, in my opinion. And yet, whenever he plays Scotland, he always seems to play quite well. But then he never seems to, he gets injured or something happens and he's out of the squad again. And yeah, it's be nice to see him, especially given the sort of the competition now in the centres for Scotland.
Yeah, it's come out of nowhere, so really, hasn't it? It went from like, oh, they're a bit struggling there, to holy shit, we've got options coming out of our ears.
They've only got Route 1 Boshers, and now it's like, oh, they've got loads of, you know, interesting, varied, different players now. Yeah.
It's a bit of a divergence, but I mean, this is what we do on this podcast, isn't it? Diverge. Mm-hmm. It probably absolutely really suits, it allows Gregor to flex his tactical nuance a bit more, doesn't it?
Because absolutely, yeah.
Obviously, being it with his background and where he's gone to the Lions as attack coach, he's clearly like, he wants to flex those tactical muscles, and now he's got some options behind him. It's clearly paying some serious dividends that he can mix up his team's play style on the fly. It makes him so much harder to sort of defend against. But there you go, 2 cents. Mm.
Definitely. Also good. Matt McKnight says, good, after 9 weeks of rest and rehab, I'm back to proper workouts, playing such rugby with friends and watching rugby with my cat,
Happy
Ozzy.
Days.
Oh, well, that's lovely.
That is delightful.
That is How delightful. Wholesome. Congratulations to you, Matt. That's incredibly wholesome, isn't it? Phil Jones says, good, we finally got top 14 coverage in the UK for the next 2 seasons. Oh, that is good. He says, oh, but shit, there's only a month left of this season and it's on Premier Sports.
There we go. There it is.
I mean, it does feel like they're sort of trying to pad their offering to sort of keep rugby people subscribing next season, isn't it? But yeah, I'd still
let them try. Let them try. If it falls away, go somewhere else. But there you go. We can try.
Indeed. Another Phil says, "Good is Luke Price leaving the Ospreys." but I completely agree. Shit is Luke Price leaving the Ospreys because not sure who we're going to blame next season when things go wrong and he's someone else's problem. Oh. I mean, yes, he is an extremely handy scapegoat for everything bad.
Slip right that now. Knife in and then twisted it.
And then with that, yeah, I mean, that's brutal, but it's true. Bless him. Clearly a nice lad. Loves a bit of sheep farming. But clearly not cut out at this level to play fly off. And good luck to him on whatever he does
Absolutely.
Next. You know. Finally, on the good side from the listeners then, good Andy Payne says, I've just bought myself a reciprocating saw to aid the dismantling of an old shed. Only had it for 20 minutes. It's dangerous, super quick, and enormous fun. I love me a power tool. I'll level with you, Andy. If the usual bloke was here tonight, you'd probably get a lot more of a response than you are now. I don't know what a reciprocating saw is. I'll level with you. I mean, I assume it reciprocates something to you. I hope it doesn't.
I was going to say, not too much, because otherwise you might lose digits otherwise.
Oh, I've just Googled it. It's one of those like little saws that like looks like a sort of gun, but it's got a little thin
saw. Oh, and it just goes back and forth for you.
Yeah.
I got you. Okay. Like cutting out like freeform shapes in plasterboard and stuff.
Exactly that, I guess. Yeah. I mean, I'll level with you. I quite fancy
it. Yeah, just for taking the edge off something.
I mean, who doesn't? Just for, you know, getting some frustration at the end of a long day, you know. But so congratulations, Andy. Congratulations to your saw. I'm sorry that you didn't get the full, you know, Lee was probably asking you if it was a Makita or something. I don't know. I'm channeling you. Yeah.
Doing a great job.
I mean, I think so, yeah. Any more good from you, Phil?
No, the only one I had was, we've already mentioned it, was Shauna Brown's comments after the Premier Teams final. Awesome. Inspiring stuff.
Indeed. Shall we round this whole thing off with some
shit? Yes, let's do that.
Shit for me is Tim Sampson, the Western Force head coach, is so annoyed at how defensively shit his team have been in the Super Rugby Trans-Tasman so far. He's initiated what they apparently call black level contact. Ooh. Which sounds like both a sex thing and a spice thing. But it's actually, it turns out, what happens when they train at full live game level intensity, which, I mean,
what could go wrong?
Yeah. Player welfare.
What could go wrong?
I mean, listen to this from prop Tom Robertson from The Force. Black means unlimited, so as hard as you can go. It's basically doing another game. It's pretty tough. Everyone's whacking each other. There's no love lost, and a couple of guys have to come off the pitch. Oh, brilliant.
So what was that first thing he said there? In the
Black means unlimited.
Right, okay. What? It sounds like a slogan for an aftershave.
Absolutely it does. Three quarters of the way through a season, and you think that it's a good idea for your team to smash shit out of each other midweek to improve the defence. I'm sure all the sports scientists will agree that making players effectively play another game midweek is going to help with their energy levels.
Two things are probably going to happen there. Either they're going to have a serious amount of business decisions going on by the teams in those midweek training sessions, or he's going to start injuring his own players and then going to have to report back to the club why half his squad's broken 7/8 of the way through the season.
Yeah. I mean, it's something right out of the 1980s.
Yeah, it is.
And, wow, it's still happening in top-level rugby.
It just doesn't need to be done anymore. There's other ways to harden players. Stick them in a freezer, as Gavin really showed. Just like,
yeah, indeed. Make them cold. Don't get them hot. Fucking hell. Also shit from me was the Newcastle insurance job.
Yeah.
Exeter don't need much encouragement to feast on lower level clubs at Sandy Park. Let's face it, but do you know, like, effectively sending down a third 15 all the way from Newcastle to Exeter. I mean, tell me again how competitive the Premiership is supposed
to be. Best league in the world, right?
Yeah, Jesus. I mean, it was really bad. Just awful. Any shits from you, Phil?
I got a couple, yeah. Tacking on to that one about the prison shaming by Exeter was the standard wank fest that went on around Sam Simmons when he scored his try, obviously. Another one just bundled over from about 3 feet out, but of course it's all to do with his tactical brilliance and all-round awesomeness as a human being that he managed to be there and put the ball over. Not that I've got really strong feelings.
No, not at all. It's really interesting how many of his, you know, nobody's talking, like, everyone's talking about how brilliant he is, and nobody's talking about the fact that he is, you know, he's a very good player, but, you know, there's a reason that extra number eights always score fucking shitloads of tries. Like, all of his tries are from close range, and it's not that there's not, or from set pieces, like, it's not that there's not great skill in that, in having the ability to sort of squeeze over the line when, you know, the defense is lined up and ready to go for you. But like how much cred, like,
I get what you're saying.
The stats are inflated by Exeter.
Yeah, exactly.
If Sam Simmons was playing for a team that wasn't Exeter, he'd still be a very good number eight. It wouldn't have ridiculous try scoring numbers.
No. It would be like, but when
people would hype him less, but he'd probably get to do more.
Probably, yeah. Ironically. To go on a real left field reference here, because I mean, again, this is what Blood and Mud is all about. It's almost like when Torres went to Chelsea. Like, he was a great player, but the system didn't work for him, so he didn't get the goals and didn't get the touches, and everyone thought he was shit. It's the reverse of that effect here. I absolutely agree. He's a very, very talented rugby player, but the system works for him, and there seems to be this weird sort of flagellating blind spot around how he's doing it or how he's able to do it. No one really wants to look at the fact that they score their tries from 5 metres out and it's almost always the number eight. So of course he's going to be top try scorer. He's not some sort of messiah of rugby because of it. It's just because of the way they're set up to play.
Yeah, it's the hype, isn't mm-hmm. it? It's the hype that he generates as a result of these try scoring exploits, when really, you know, the hype should be about what a good player he is elsewhere in the game, but people just focus on his try scoring record, which does him a disservice, you know?
Yeah. Other shit from I had one shit, which was obviously Henry Slade's approach to public health information. I got a shit here from Phil Koppel, who has highlighted an article touting Marcus Smith to be on the Lions tour. Should a Geography 6 situation rear its head again? Which, let's face it, with COVID, and especially in these days, it very much could happen that the 38 that we saw named, or what, 37 that are named, won't actually all make it to South Africa. I get that. That's fair enough. But he says, firstly, does it seem like a Gatland move to put a young, inexperienced player at 10 against South fucking Africa? So I want to make sure I'm quoting correctly here. And secondly, why the fuck would anyone do that anyway?
I mean, yes. I'll tell you what, though. It's remarkable how seamlessly certain people have pivoted from touting certain fringe Premiership players as being nailed on for the Lions' original squad. They've now just, without any sort of, even without even missing stride, they've instantly sort of pivoted this to how these players are going to be the first players called up on the standby list. Oh,
massively so, because that proves them right.
Danny Kerr is absolutely going to be the first call if a number 9 goes down. You fucking
of course
think?
He is, yeah. Of course
really?
He is.
Ahead of Thomas Williams? Ahead of, you know... Anyway.
Lloyd Williams?
It's just remarkable. I mean, he's got more international experience this season than Danny
Kerr
has.
I know, we joke. But the
goal it's of it is to be like, yeah, we were totally wrong, but we're going to end up being right in the end. We're just going to keep
hammering this until it doesn't happen. And then someone will come along and point it out to them afterwards on social media, and they'll just get blocked, and that'll be the end of it.
Well, the thing is that most of these people are, you know, let's be honest, employed by BT Sport.
Yeah.
And therefore, when the Lions is actually on, they're not going to be appearing in the media in any way, shape or form. So they'll just get to sort of be quite quiet about it. And yeah. Speaking of BT Sport, actually, shit from Ian Gareth. He says, BT Sport's being 100% predictable and giving man of the match in the Exeter game on Saturday to Henry Slade. Yes, that was very predictable. However, he says, good, I put £20 on Henry Slade getting awarded man of the match before the teams were announced on Friday, guessing what the BT Sport pre-written narrative would be, and got 6-1.
That Boom. Is inspired. Fair play.
You're playing their addiction to the hashtag narrative for your own ends. That's brilliant.
So well played. Fair play. Well done.
Oh, God, I really wish I'd fucking put a tenner on Billy Vunipola being the man of the match.
Oh, yeah, that would have been one.
He came back after his homophobia. That would
have been probably where he got the idea, to be honest.
I mean, it probably is, yeah. But next time an England player does something to disgrace himself,
lump on him being man of the match.
fucking lump on.
Because BT will definitely gobble it up.
Gordon White says, shit, despite finishing second, knowing that Saracens will inevitably win the playoff? Yes. And he said, also shit is Newcastle Falcons being your English team. Yes.
Yeah, sorry,
yeah,
mate.
Friend of the pod, Patricia Vieira, says shit is the captain's challenge. And she's a Munster fan. She said, well, I'm obviously not upset that Munster got the game-winning decision. That call was dubious at best, and it was a shit and anticlimactic way to end a fun game. And it was a fun... That's the thing. It was a fun game. The lead changed hands, like, in the last 10 minutes. And Cardiff looked like they'd fucked it up, and then they got another chance. And it was quite exciting in a sort of slapdash ramshackle way. And then it ended with a TMO check, you know?
Yeah.
That's not what any of us want,
very
is it?
Anticlimactic.
Indeed. Any more shit from you, Phil?
Oh, I just had one more, which was Paolo Odogwu doing his ACL. That's
yes,
super shit.
Fucking shit luck for him,
really,
isn't
crap.
It?
Fair play. I obviously, I think I've got opinions on his inclusion in the England squad and then not being used whatsoever, when I think he's actually got a fair bit of promise. And then obviously having potential eligibility to play for Italy as well. I think that was all a little bit underhand on their part. But there we go. That's just done and dusted now. It is what it is. But he is a promising player, and that's a real shame to see that happen.
Yeah, and such an exciting player to watch as well. You know, he's... And Wasps have had such shit luck with injuries this season. And, you know, Jack Willis obviously doing it, and Alfie Barbary fucking... getting bad, you know, bad injury on the fringe of England as well. Yeah. They just Joe Launchbury getting injured. It's like it's been relentless with Wasps this season.
Yes.
And yeah, you really feel for the club and yeah, for Odogwu as well. Gutting.
Yeah, that was it for me.
Finally then, shit, I think, is likely to be this weekend's slate of games. Like, particularly in the Premiership, right?
Yeah.
Like the top four teams are set for the playoffs. There's no relegation. There's some minor intrigue around Champions Cup qualification, but honestly, next week we might have to have a War Animal special because there's going to be very little.
Oh, I couldn't come on for that one.
We'll get you back. We'll get everyone back because we'll need to fill time.
Yeah, everyone come and bring a war animal.
Yeah. Oh,
bring your own war animal. They're going to do a PowerPoint presentation.
I'll tell you what, if we have to have a COVID shutdown again, that's going to be right at the top
of
the slate. Bring your own war animal week.
Absolutely.
Awesome. Well, I think that is us about this week. Sorry, it's a bit late, everyone. As explained, there were some steamroller related issues, but thank you very much, Phil, for stepping into the breach.
Thank you very much for having me. It's been a pleasure
being your own steamroller of chat. We'll be back again with a normal pod next week, probably on Monday, but you know, maybe on Wednesday again. I don't know. I like to keep you guessing.
Keep us on the toes.
But indeed, thank you all for listening, Phil. Thank you for putting up with me for the last couple of hours.
It's been my pleasure. I really enjoyed it. Thank you very much.
It's an absolute pleasure to have you. You can come back. And yeah, we shall see you all again next week. Take care, everybody.
As more sectors across Ireland are reopening, the COVID-19 pandemic unemployment payment is changing. If you're currently receiving this payment, the amount you receive will change from the 16th of November. To find out more about how these changes will affect you, visit gov.ie/PUP changes, a Government of Ireland initiative brought to you by the Department of Social Protection.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At chumbacasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.